Bob Hawke donated his royalties from all Hawke's beer sales to environmental charity Landcare Australia. So grab a slab of Hawke's Lager from your local Dan Murphy's or Liquor Legends today. Drink responsibly.
Goodbye, Easter. Hello, work.
Hello. Only goodbye, Easter, just. It was just yesterday we were celebrating the long Easter weekend, Marto.
Oh, the Lord. And I was like the Lord. I got COVID over our Easter break and now fresh as a daisy.
You died and were resurrected and again. Resurrected. Is that what's happening?
Rolling back the rock. Here
and my
is.
Wife wants to kill me because they gave it to her. I got sneezing for 2 days. I reckon that's about all I had. And Kath, I have almost killed her. She is still in bed now.
Oh, it's really?
Yeah, she's got it bad. No good.
She's got the flu, the one that must be connected to flu.
Ew.
Yeah, she's not big enough to fight this sort of stuff. Like me, I've got fat deposits all over the place where it's
and
COVID.
And a beard, because you're a man.
I want to look like
it's
Kevin Rudd.
That's a bit of hair growth great happening here. Are you what's vying for about the position of Santa Claus as well in
holidays
6 months?
Don't you ever, see, you girls can't do it. But blokes, when we come back from a holiday with a little beard, we cling to it going, oh, there's still a little bit of holiday left in me.
Still a little bit of holiday left.
You look like
well, you've
you're
got
ready
two more
business.
Monday public holidays in a row. We've got three long weekends in a row.
That's
so
right.
Grasp onto that
what's
if you
Tuesday
can.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Dobbo from Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl, Liam and Dobbo. Bluebet's 4-point halftime early payout available on NRL games in rounds 1-4. T's and C's apply.
Hey, Dobbo, how are you, mate?
Good, guys. Happy Easter. It seems like forever. We've just got rid of, obviously, round 6 of the Telstra Premiership. It finished yesterday. It started last Thursday with the Cowboys giving the Raiders a good old-fashioned flogging down in Canberra, and it ended up yesterday with a field goal right
what a
off
game
the line. Yeah, unbelievable.
What
unbelievable
a game, Jackson. Hey, actually, we're talking resurrection there, but can you tell us, Ponga was the big story while that game was going on. It's really weird. Why did the news come out while Newcastle were playing about Ponga and tell everyone what it was?
It's a weird thing. I remember last year when the Broncos were playing and Tevita Pangai Jr.'s leaving the Broncos came out mid-game while they were playing. Yeah. It was a really – Dean Ritchie broke this story on Sunday as the Knights were playing the Dragons, that Kalyn Ponga had his contract offer from the Knights pulled and that he was now in no man's land in the sense that he hadn't got that contract extension. Remembering, Kalyn Ponga has an option in his favour for the next 2 years to remain at the Knights.
Can you explain that to everyone who's driving in this morning, Dobbo? What does that mean? Like, he's playing for the Knights this year. What happens next year?
That means that he has close on $1 million on the table over the next 2 years. And if he wants to take that option up, he can, but if he wanted to go and negotiate with the Dolphins, he could also do that as well. And he could leave at the end of the year and take an option at another club. So it is all in his favour. So what the Knights were trying to do was they were trying to extend him out for 5 years because he has a 2-year extension. They were offering him an extra
three.
Yeah, which would make it a 5-year deal. And obviously then he remains a Knights. It's a very, very complex and interesting situation. His father is a development officer at the Newcastle Knights and also manages Kalyn Ponga himself. He's not accredited. I don't know how the NRL let him do this. But
Dobbo, have you seen the movie Richard about the father of the Williams tennis sisters?
Yes, I have.
He also got a job and a house and a car and everything. It's a very similar story.
Dobbo, I heard that potentially they've pulled this Ponga deal because they want to make a play at Cameron Munster, who's obviously
the Knights.
Because the Storm have offered him $750. Yeah. The Dolphins have offered him $1 million. If Ponga goes to the Dolphins because they're also interested in Ponga, then they potentially could make a play at Cameron Munster instead.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, that was all the speculation on Sunday, Margo, and obviously some of that stuff is right. Cameron Munster's on $1.2 million next year at the Melbourne Storm. Following that, they've offered him a contract extension, a bit like Kalyn Ponga, of $750,000, so a massive shortfall. If anybody saw his game the other night against the Sharks, he was unbelievable. He was the difference. Now, let's just get this. The Redcliffe, or the Dolphins, are prepared to pay the $1.2 next year, and they've got $1.2 going forward. They can pay Kalyn Ponga $1.2 million, no third parties, and they're prepared to do it. Now, is that
5 years in a row? Because at the moment, he's looking at 5 years at Knights. Could they pay him 5 years in a row $1.2 mil?
The Dolphins are 100%, and he will not go to Newcastle. Cameron Munster will not go to Newcastle And I'm not necessarily, I see the journalist that broke the story. We all make mistakes, me included. He's backflipped a little bit over the last 24 hours because the Knights have come out and said they definitely haven't pulled the contract. So somewhere in the negotiations, there's a bit of argy-bargy. Someone's trying to win it. Either way, I think the Dolphins aren't confident in getting Kalyn Ponga. I know that for a fact.
Now, is it possible the Dolphins, can they afford Ponga both and Munster?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. I think there's a bloke by the name of Reece Walsh who's playing out of Redcliffe at the moment for the Warriors. I think that he'd be a perfect fit at the number one for the Dolphins next year.
Hey, did you see that story about Wayne Bennett? Did he and the other Dolphins, Terry Reader, our mate, and the rest of them, they booked a hotel room, their meeting for Kalyn Ponga. They didn't want to hold it in public. Did you see that one? They held it
I did. Yeah, I did. Terrigal, yeah. It was a royal suite.
You know all about
only
that.
Only the best for Wayne. Quick update. The Broncos take on the Bulldogs on Friday night. Obviously, we saw Tessie News gone for 10 weeks. Tamari Martin, what a redemption story. He played for the Cowboys, retired. He's been back. He's been playing at Wynnum. He will be the fullback this week for the Broncos, which is a good news story. They've obviously got Flegler back and they've got Payne Huss back. That strengthens up their middles. I know they got beaten by 40, but if anybody watched that game, there was lots to like. And it's a slow burn. You've got to believe in your Broncos.
Can we get somebody who can catch the high ball this week?
Well, hopefully Tamari Martin's that person.
I was interested to hear Dobbo, Kevy Walters, say in the press conference after their thrashing 40-12 by the Panthers that it was Adam Reynolds' best game. And I thought, well, he's played three, and if that's his best and they lost 40-12, that's not real a lot of hope.
Oh, he was awesome, Adam Reynolds, the other night. I mean, there was a 15-minute window where they put on four tries where their bench was obviously a lot lighter. Now, look, there's plenty of ways you can pick through the Broncos. Make no mistakes, beaten 40-12. But they were almost at halftime, it was almost tied up. They had their bench players on, remembering they had their three best middles out during the course, and they lost Tessie New before halftime. There's a lot to it. Adam Reynolds was a very, very good story. Corey Jensen, player's player. He stepped up. He hadn't played much first grade. He was a player's player for the Broncos the other night. He was very, very good from the Cowboys. Look, it's going to get better, guys. Everybody just needs to. And I know I drink the Kool-Aid a lot. It's going to get better.
Righto, Dobbo. Thank you. Marto and Margot.
Triple M Breakfast. Marto, you're somewhat of a fisherman. I'm not sure if you've ever come across the Brisbane River lungfish, but I'm not sure breathtaking is the word that I would put alongside lungfish when speaking of the species.
Is lungfish got a round body, not a
It looks like a
body?
Big brown eel.
Is there one in the
thing.
Brisbane River?
Yeah, apparently there.
I know fish in the Brisbane River, I'm sorry.
Well, the Star Entertainment Group, who are the owners of the new Queen's Wharf development and the new casino, they're stumping up $12 million for a lungfish mural along the Queen's Wharf.
I've just looked it up.
Show, sorry.
Do share.
It's like
an eel with legs.
It's like an eel flathead type thing. It's not a pretty fish. It's a really dark fish too.
Lindy Lee, who is the artist that is going to be doing it, nothing against them. But the transfer, it's a $3.6 billion project, Queen's Wharf.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to front
it. How much are they giving her?
They're going to front it $12 million.
Is it a sculpture?
No, it's artwork.
A mural.
You can
it's
see,
artwork.
It's like a mural. It's orange and it's got four blue lungfish.
Has anyone ever caught a lungfish? Are they edible?
Outside of the bull shark, I'm not sure what other species is in the Brisbane River.
There's flatties down here. Mate's caught flatties and
they're not attractive either. Can we not come up with something that's a little
everything
nicer
that's in
to
the
look
river,
at?
Margo, the flatheads here, you know the flatheads you catch out in the bay, can be a sandy colour. They're almost black because of the mud. Any mud crabs you catch are really black as well.
Isn't there some pretty red coral trout or something,
I
you
don't
know?
Think like, there is in the brown snake.
Can we talk about this? Because it would have been a lot of blokes, a lot of girls, a lot of parents trying to give their kids a fish over the weekend. Well, you sent me a photo of your young bloke.
Yeah, Wiley caught a leatherjack, Marto.
Leatherjack, they're a wonderful fish. Yeah, not many bones in them.
No. It's a very attractive fish. That is a fish I'd be willing to pay $12 million for a mural for at a $3.9 billion project.
Well, I don't think, if someone can tell us, maybe this is a two-prong attack, but I don't think there's any real fish. There's red-finned salmon out out near the mouth of the river.
This mural is going to be 16 metres long.
16 metres?
And 2
metres
high.
They need to get another quote. $16 million is a lot of money.
It's pixelated squares of mosaic glass tiles that will run adjacent to the bicentennial bike path.
Oh, righto. So you look straight into it. Why not get a fish tank that's 16 metres long? It'd be cheaper and just put some
just
fish
put
in
some
there.
Fish in it.
Well, why can't you do that? But can we talk about it the weekend? Maybe if anyone knows a better fish that comes out of the Brisbane River. But how do you get your kid? I believe, just based on you, I didn't fish too much over the holiday because there wasn't many fish around. I had one fish, six fish I caught in about 2.5 hours, okay, six whiting. Can anyone tell us, getting kids to fish, how do you do it? Like, it's not something they go, geez, I love, you know, American basketball. No kid goes, geez,
Xbox.
I love fishing.
No. We fished over at South Currajee River. Yeah. You just put a lure on the end of that thing and she thinks it's the best thing ever. She just likes casting it. Just the motion of casting and winding in. She did not catch a fish all weekend. Wiley caught a fish. A couple of the mums that I was with, they love fishing. They were catching little whiting and little bream and just sort of throwing them back in.
Oh, can I just check with everyone else, because I don't believe that. I'm the other. The only time I'll put a fishing rod in a kid's hands, I've done it with nephews and stuff, is when I know that
guaranteed
they'll catch fish. Because if they don't catch fish, they won't be back, surely. Can you, guys and girls with kids, how do you get them into it? Or tell us,
do you know a better fish in the Brisbane River than the lungfish?
There are 1-3-3-5-3.
All right, 1-3-3-5-3. Do you know about fish in the river, or how do you get a kid started
but plenty
fishing?
Plenty of blokes wouldn't catch much and still go fishing again, isn't that
they're
the
just
whole
drinking?
Yeah,
but what about our kids?
It's the
they
same
can't
with
drink.
Men playing golf, isn't it? Where,
all right,
where there's a beer involved.
Yeah.
The result doesn't really matter.
You know the number, 1-3-3-5-3. Call us now.
You ever caught a dart? You ever seen the kids? Well, they're everywhere.
Are they the little triangle ones?
They're called, yes, they're called the rat of the sea.
Yeah.
Okay, little ones are a waste of bait. But the bigger ones, if you know you can catch them and you catch them, every time you throw out, you'll pull them in and they give you the most tremendous fight. That's how I got the kids started. Well, Hillary didn't care, but Harry goes, Dad, if you ever find any more big dart, give us a hoy. And you can see them in the waves too.
Yeah.
So you know they're there. If you just have worm or whatever, you can catch them straight away. And that's how you get kids involved, I always reckon, because kids, if they don't catch anything, they go, bugger off, it's a stupid sport.
Well, my kids, they don't mind fishing. River,
that's
she
amazing.
Just likes the casting and the reeling in. Like, she didn't catch a fish all weekend, but she was happy as Larry out there in the water, because I think it's like everybody else was doing it, so then she then wanted to do
but
it,
I
so it was that kind of thing.
I watch the little kids, like, you know, from Morton driving along, and I watch the little kids, and you know they're not catching anything, you just see their shoulders droop and droop, and then they just turn around and go up to the beach to see mum.
Alex at Redland Bay's text us.
How are your kids into fishing?
Well, his dad used to bribe him with the promise of Macca's on the way home from fishing.
That's it.
That's true.
Alex had zero interest in fishing, but would load up the esky. His dad would load up the esky full of cans, pack in the form guide and radio, and have a pump while we sat on the beach in deck chairs.
Oh my God, who was that? Alex, was it?
Alex from Redland Bay.
And I bet you, Alex, if we were to speak to him, he only just texted it. If we were to speak to him, he'd go, they were the greatest days I ever spent with Dad.
You remember that stuff?
You're a bit teary now.
Darren from Carindale. Good morning.
Good morning. How you going?
Good, mate. You go fishing with the kids. How do you get them involved? Yeah.
The lure of the Mars bar.
Yeah.
after
you don't
what?
Use it on the lure.
Every fish is worth a Mars bar.
Oh.
And as for the lungfish, not real keen on that. I reckon we should go a platypus, guys.
Yeah,
oh,
something
great
else,
call.
Darren.
Great
fish.
Call on the platypus because they're around southeast Queensland. Hey, Darren, did you go fishing with your dad?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, and granddad.
Do you remember those days with happy memories?
Oh, good stuff, mate. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but
down the coast of Victoria, beautiful.
Did you catch bugger or fish and it didn't matter, though?
Yeah, exactly, mate. You can spend hours on the beach casting into waves 10 feet over your head, but
it's the experience,
sound
isn't
real
it?
Safe.
Josh from Bellbird Park, good morning.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Happy Easter. Did you get much fishing done over the holidays, or were you a kid that used to fish and didn't catch anything?
No, we were actually out in the boat for about 6 hours yesterday. Did not catch a single thing.
Oh. Did you have a great time, though, Josh?
Yeah, it was pretty good. You guys found out about the lungfish. The lungfish is actually I'm pretty certain it's a protected species. It's quite rare in the Brisbane River. You get them up in the freshwater water quite.
Righto, up towards Ipswich.
Yeah, up sort of where towards the dam wall is, but there's not many down sort of where the casino is there. However, you do get the threadies there.
Good threadies. That's what you were saying, Marto.
Well, what do you think?
Is that a better looking fish, the thread? What is it? Thread
salmon.
Salmon?
That's They've already got a statue at Indooroopilly of the Threadfin Salmon.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's where the police station is there on that side of the entrance.
Oh, my God. Hey, Josh, where are you out of Ipswich? Belbert?
Yeah, I'm at Belbert Park, yeah.
Oh, nice one. Oh, that's amazing. Can I just check this lungfish that they're making a 16-metre mural of? Is that like an eel, is it, Josh?
Yeah, it's very similar to an eel, yeah, but it's not. But they're not dangerous at all. Like, you could swim with them.
No, yeah, they say that it's called a lungfish because it has a lung. Most fish only have gills, but it has gills and a lung.
Oh,
which is why it's called
it'll
the lungfish.
It'll grow legs, so and next thing you know, it'll be down Ipswich High.
It'll be Josh walking in the front door of the new Queens Wharf Casino and having a bet.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Oh, Margo, they called the election while we were away, and we missed that first week of campaigning.
Campaigning.
Oh, wow.
What is it, 21st of May?
Yeah, so 32 days, I think, until the election, and there'll be more campaigning. There's a debate on here tomorrow night
in
Brisbane. ScoMo against Anal, against Albo. is it Albo? What's his name?
Albanese.
Yeah, yeah. They're going head-to-head, probably at South Bank or something. Do you want to go and heckle?
Should we get tickets? Do we get free tickets through Triple M?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Free tomatoes.
Wouldn't pay for them.
Legends lunch or that. Which one?
They're both a pair of Muppets that are just trying to scare us in all their various ways. There's ScoMo.
A government that knows how to protect and secure our borders, and a Labor opposition, you just don't know at all. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Thanks, Scotty, from marketing. And then Albo, like, he's going around, oh, you know what they're doing? They're apparently trying to scare old people, going, oh, you lose all your money. This is all they do, the two big parties. I'd love something positive. And then you get what you deserve, like him on Blues Fest on Saturday night.
When Blues Fest became Booze Fest.
Yeah, get
Anthony
stuffed.
Albanese got Skinny a less bastard. Than warm welcome when he took to the stage in Byron Bay last night to introduce rock legend Jimmy Barnes.
Welcome, Jimmy Barnes!
Okay. Yeah, politicians at music festivals or at sports events, they always get, whenever a camera goes on them at sports events, they get booed because we can't stand any of you because you have got nothing positive at all inside you. I don't know what all the alternative parties.
Did you see his stuff up when they said about the job seeker and he said $46 a week instead of a day?
He said a week. It's easy to do. Who cares about that little bit? What I want is...
Tell us what you're going to do.
That's what I want to know.
How
are you going to fix things? Margaret, you wouldn't know, but in 2009, I went down the same... I've been doing this job for too bloody long because I went down the same track and I said, I'm going to do something about it myself. And I decided to sign up. Marto ran
for government.
But unfortunately, I decided that my target was Anna Bligh. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Former Premier. I ran against her in South Brisbane.
Oh.
And the thing was, I should have run in Caboolture or somewhere where Triple M are beat.
You could have gone up against Warwick Capper.
No, he never actually went. Paul Lee was running down there. But I thought, I'll go for the big target and just took the mickey out of it. But at stages during the election, I had so many backslappers. People said, you're going to roll a hit. You're a big chance. I had to go to Perth and commentate on the Saturday over in Perth, a rugby game, Hopped off the plane, the red eye, Sunday morning because the election had been on the Saturday, and I had so many people telling me, you're going to win this, mate. You'll go all right.
The man of the people.
So I got the Sunday Mail at the airport and went home and went, 371 votes. She got like 14,000.
That's 371 people.
What I did want to say, and we might chase this, if we've got 32 days of campaigning, can we come up with one a day? I came up with two of the greatest policies that would have changed the world. One of my policies, and I reckon this was 300 of my votes, was you take your driver's license into your local bottle-o on your birthday and you get a carton of beer of your choice. What a policy.
Could it be champagne as well?
Sorry, I'm flexible.
I would vote for you.
And the other policy, and I thought, now this, and this is run rampant. That's 13 years ago since I ran for Parliament. If they'd brought it in at that stage, we'd have a better society. I was proposing the small dog buyback scheme. It was any dog under 30 centimetres. Can you imagine what sort of a wonderful joint we'd have now if it was wiped out 30 years ago? You were able to get I was going to give you $1,000 for your dog, and we weren't going to put them down. There was a forest we were going to build out west and fence it so that all those little dogs could hang around together and no one would have to scoop up their poo. They can just wander. That should have got me into Parliament.
Great.
All right, so every
day. I don't know how you didn't get more votes.
I know. 371.
Groundbreaking stuff.
Is that it?
Triple M Breakfast.
Marto, I don't know if this story has a happy ending or not, because the police are on the hunt for a man who allegedly attempted to rob a grocery store in Redcliffe last week while we were away, and we overlooked, obviously, this news because we weren't here to report on it at the time.
Yeah.
They said that he was armed with a large knife and he threatened two workers aged 41 and 59, two women working in the local grocery store there.
You see how much
in Redcliffe?
Cost? You seen how much a steak costs? No wonder.
Yeah. It's expensive to eat out. Inflation, yeah. Marto.
Grocery store, you said?
Yeah, like
IGA or something.
IGA.
Oh, they can be really expensive.
Type store, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Security footage captured the moment one of the women ran towards the man and threw, because, you know, you always wonder what you do in those situations. Are you a fight or flight kind of person?
Yeah, do you go at the problem or do you run away?
Depend on what you're armed with. Perhaps if you could pick something up. Like, I sometimes
baseball bat.
Roll through that, because I watch a lot of those crime shows SUV. I always go through my head, what would I do if there was a burglar in my house?
I've seen them use saucepans. I've seen them pull out baseball bats,
kitchen
golf
knife.
Club.
I go straight for the block, the kitchen knife block, and just grab a big knife and just...
Yeah, but you got to know how to use it.
Ward them off. Well, you don't
But the longer the handle, often, like I've seen them hit them with brooms and stuff, hit the robbers with brooms, because that keeps them away from you.
She didn't find a broom or a knife. She found a carton of custard, which she threw at him.
What?
She was obviously stocking the back fridge.
Oh, she was, yes,
and
doing the shelf.
And she came running from the back of the store.
Just came at him at a distance with custard.
Just threw a tub of custard at him and it went all over him.
He got custarded.
He got custarded. Oh. She apologised for making a mess to the owners of the store afterwards because she threw the custard and then ran out the front door to the fish and chip shop next door to ask for help.
Well, they would have had some hot fat.
In that time, the custard bandit, a bit of a sticky situation, found himself in. He couldn't get the till open and so he left.
Oh, because he slipped with
the
custard.
And he ran away and then the girl came back in and called the owner and the police came and then she apologised and said, I'm sorry for making a mess. They said, no, that's okay. Good job. Well
done. Did they track this guy down?
No. Well, I don't know. I'm just reading the story that they said they're looking for him. It's on the hunt. But how good's custard? I love custard.
That's interesting you say that.
Because custard normally is known for, you know, sticky date or apple pie.
I have it with bananas sometimes.
Banana. So good. My kid's been, I've been buying those squeezy custards. You can get the bluey, you know, the little blue dog, the cattle dog bluey.
They do cartoon custard
blueys in the yogurt section now.
You know what I always thought? You know when couples are going through separation problems and they say a custody battle? I would love to see a proper... couple getting a litre of custard.
Well,
righto.
You're onto something.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Grab my phone and play that in a second when I tell you to. I just want to talk about AFL here, and there's a umpire crisis in AFL. You'll hear all about it, I guess. Well, it has to be addressed today because there's a real problem going on. They tried to have a crackdown on umpire respect by players. You understand what that is? Oh, because they're up them. Have you ever been to an AFL game and they call them maggots, the umpires, they're up them whole time? Yeah, they're so evil to the umpires. That's the crowd. But they're going, right, players.
No, not the players.
That's the crowd. Oh, God. Oh, you've never heard anyone abuse umpires worse. And that's something. And they're going, listen, we've got to stamp this out of the game.
Yep.
But they're having trouble doing it in the crowd. So they go, let's get respect from the players. Let's no players.
Lead from the front.
Exactly. Well, they're the example. You're watching them. If they don't abuse the umpire, the players won't. So what they're asking, they're saying, never question, virtually don't question anything the umpire does, which is pretty hard. When you're in an intense battle, you're competing for the ball or whatever.
Emotions are high.
And you know the rules and he knows the rules and you reckon the umpires could the rules. Oh, come on, ump. What they're doing, did you see Harris Andrews on Friday night? Harris Andrews, who we talked to here on Triple M Breakfast, a decision went against him and he got pushed, and it happened last week as well. Put his hands out, like just to gave it the Jesus
like
over Easter.
Come on, mate. Come on,
hold on. 50-metre penalty. There's no greater penalty than to walk 50 metres. And if you're a defender, that means the guy.
For saying, come on, mate.
For come on. Oh, come on.
Is it the contesting or is it the arms out thing?
No, it's he was just going, oh, come on, you got to be kidding, like just throwing it out to try to, you know, and not being totally disrespectful. But if a defender gets marched 50 metres towards his goals, the guy's got a 5-metre kick, and that's what happened to the Lions against Collingwood Friday night.
I might start implementing that as a parenting strategy. Come on, mum. I'm like, 50 metres, go.
50 metres.
Down to the backyard.
2 doors down. Well, what happened yesterday, Hawks Geelong. Now, there's a guy called Tom Hawkins. You might have heard about it. Play that right there now. He's 110 kilograms, okay? He's one of the biggest players in AFL. He belts people. All right, watch what he does. Tell me he doesn't jump out of there deliberately. Yeah. He pretends. And you can stop playing it now because no one listening can see. Did you see what he did?
Yes.
Pretended. So he took a dive. Took a wicked dive. You're 110 kilograms. The guy who was marking him is about 85 k's, as if. He deliberately dived to get the penalty. And the two Hawthorn guys are going, oh, come on up. That's ridiculous. He not only got that ridiculous penalty, but 50 metres.
Oh,
everyone blew up. And fair enough. Like, we all know umpires and referees. We all went to school with these kiddies and we all know they didn't quite fit in. That's why they became umpires. Let's give it a bit of a break. You'll see it. The news will be around today. Umpire respect, you are kidding. You give them money, you're overpaying them anyway, most of these. No, don't let me go down that track because I have to go 50 metres.
All right.
But fair dinkum. They run backwards. They throw the ball over their head.
Stop there. I'll play a sock. Mardo's
thought on sport. Why they became umpires and referees.
Back after 8 o'clock this morning.
Skinny little legs.
Mardo and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Much like yourself, Mardo, I arrived home yesterday for the first time after 11 days of being away because we finished up the show here on Thursday and Friday. We headed off and we did 3 nights of camping over at South Stratty.
Were you away the whole time?
Away the whole time. So we went straight from South Currajee where we camped in swags for 3 nights.
And it rained.
And it rained. Yes. Packed everything up, threw it in the little boat. The little boat went onto and parked in a car park. And then Corey brought the caravan down, swapped over the caravan.
I saw him on Fox Sports because I went, he's supposed to be camping. He was on, I see him on the rugby league.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't get to enjoy the splendours of camping in a swag with 4 children while it's raining on South Currajee because he dropped us off, set us up, left, and then come back Monday morning.
So and then set
I didn't
you up
see
for camping.
And then set us up for camping
so you
Monday.
So you were away for about 10, same as me, about 10 nights.
11
so.
Days, yeah.
Oh, 11 days. Oh,
headed over to Main Beach Caravan Park in the van and stayed there for a week, Monday to Monday. Got back late yesterday afternoon. It was incredible. We had a great time. Except we arrived home to probably one of the worst things you can come home to when you've been away on holidays.
Hold on. Oh, no.
Smelly fridge. Left an old chicken carcass.
In the fridge and it still went.
In the fridge. And 11, 12 days later when I went to open the fridge to unpack the stuff left over from the caravan went, ugh, the fridge stinks. And all the kids went, ugh, the fridge stinks.
See ya.
I said, quick, open the bin and I pulled the chicken.
Hold on. Are you telling me a 10-day... I'd have a go at a 10-day-old chicken. If it was in the fridge. Have you ever left one in the bin?
Well, I left it there thinking that Corey would use the meat to feed the dogs with because he was back and forth because he was commentating footy both weekends. So he was working. So he was coming home, staying, then going to the airport. So I left the chicken there thinking he would use it to feed the dogs with.
Are you chicken shaming your husband?
I'm chicken shaming my husband. He left it in the fridge. So when we got back, it stunk, Marto. I think it had been there for maybe 2 weeks potentially and it was crook. Then I opened the bin to put the chicken in the bin and then the bin stunk because there'd been something that had been left in the bin which was crook too. So then the bin stank.
Have
but then not only that.
Oh, what? A trifecta.
Trifecta of smelly things. The dishwasher hadn't been turned on. So
they can be
when I opened the dishwasher, the dishwasher stunk and the plates had mould on them. And I was like, oh, yuck. And I couldn't get mad at Corey because I got home after him. I took all the kids out for brekkie when we left the caravan park. He took the caravan home and unpacked the caravan.
Yeah, didn't go inside the house.
Put a load of washing on. He was whippersnipping and mowing and blowing and doing all that stuff. And I couldn't complain at the fact that
the fridge
and the bin and the dishwasher were all smelly.
Okay, so that's a husband who's let you down. But if you've got a kid in their 20s, they can also let you down. Have you ever seen your chicken left? I'm going to say, it's a chicken left in the bin. If you leave that in the bin, honestly.
I'm just remembering
I know
the smell.
There's people eating and stuff. there was a sea of maggots on our kitchen. Sorry. But you have to go. That's the first thing. You've had a lovely little holiday for 10 days
and you come home.
Sorry. But this is true because they just come like in waves. Horrible.
Can we take some calls while
Margo. I don't want to know about your maggots and your chickens, but 1-3-3-5-3, what did you come home to from holidays?
Friend of ours came home, checked the chicken coop. This happened on, they rang me on the weekend. There was a snake just lying there. You know how they're sluggish after they've eaten a chicken?
As you would be.
A chicken in the belly, snake still in there, and two other really terrified chickens in the chicken coop.
Well, I came home to no chicken too, but then Corey reminded me he gave it away last week, and I was like, oh, that's
all right. What did you come home to? Yeah. Simple as that.
1-3-3-5-3. Been away on holidays, you come home, and what did you find?
Well, maybe a stolen car.
Maybe a dog was missing.
Rowan from Banyo, you know where we're going here, hey? What did you come home?
I know where you're going, guys. Good morning.
Well, what did you come home to?
Margo, I'll see your 12-day-old chicken and raise you 6-week-old chicken leg that was in my school lunchbox sitting in the bottom of my cupboard for the whole summer holidays when I was in primary school.
Yuck. How did Mum make you take it to school?
Yes, she got my dad to clean it out. Oh. He was gagging. He
thrown it in the bin. Hey, lit it on fire.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I would have killed it.
That'd be happening this morning, I reckon. There'd be plenty of mums out there going, get your school bags, and then where's your lunchbox? It's at the bottom of the school bag still.
2 weeks. And chicken again. This chicken, we've got to get it out of our lives. John from Kilcoy.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. Did you come home from holidays? What did you come home to?
My brother came home. He went on camp when he was in grade 7.
Yeah.
And back in those days, you know, mum used to... All the mums used to put something in to, you know, to take on the camp. Mum cooked a couple of chooks.
Oh, chooks again.
My brother came home in the same clothes he went in, but he also hadn't taken the chooks out of the bottom of the bag.
He didn't eat or change his clothes.
They definitely didn't change his clothes.
Maybe there was chook juice on his clothes. That's why he didn't change his clothes, perhaps.
But
chicken.
But you've got to breathe through your mouth, Margo, not your nose. Because you smell stuff in your nose.
Well, John, I did the sniff test. That was part of the problem. I pulled the chicken out and I went, in my head, in that split second, I went, is this an old chicken or is this a new chicken Corey maybe got? And I pulled that little plastic bag apart and went, and then I went at the same time, and I was like, that's old chicken.
But you've changed nappies. Like, John's trying to teach you how to breathe. Changing nappies.
Nah,
you should I'd know
cop a
to
nappy
breathe through
over
your mouth.
A chook every
Scott
day of the week.
Scott from Shaler Park, don't tell me this is involving a chicken.
It is involving a chicken, yes.
Yes.
What happened, Scott?
Well, I've got something a little bit reversed for you guys. I went away camping, and I've got some chooks in the backyard. Well, I come home. And I had an extra chook.
Oh, you got a new one.
I got a new one. So
where did it come from?
But have you got a rooster?
No.
No, it wasn't a baby chicken. It was maybe a neighbour's chicken that had gone wandering.
Well, it was laying good eggs too.
Oh, beautiful. Did you keep it?
Yeah.
Didn't put on the Facebook page, the community page, anyone missing
spare
a chicken?
No, you don't go admitting that sort of stuff.
No, I wanted to keep it.
He kept it. Good job.
Oh, finally, a chicken that didn't die over Easter.
Good on you, Scotty. It's Triple M.
And Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Can I remind you that every rumour could win you $1,000? So if you're out and about across the holidays, the long weekend, you bumped into someone, whether at the pub or we'll get to you at the pub or camping or wherever, and they gave you a good rumour.
Oh, come on.
Let us know.
1-3-3-5-3, ring us anytime or get on the burner phone. Mm. Margot, that is sitting around campfire. There's people, whether it's for the world of sport, politics, business, anything at all, give us a rumour. Can I go first? I heard this one. This is from...
That wasn't even a question, but yeah, sure. You can go first.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one.
Do you want to go first?
No, you go.
All right, that's a democracy.
Age before beauty.
Yes. No, but you're younger. That means you should go first and I'll bring it home.
No, you know, I'm not sure it works that way.
The other way around.
All right, mine is from a Triple M... They'd kill me if they knew that I was mentioning this. But so they're the best rumors.
One of our listeners.
No, Triple M AFL footy commentary.
Straight away, they can't win the $1,000. So can we just be upfront about that?
Well, I'm not going to keep telling you these rumours if you're not offering.
Well, they can't.
Okay. Well, you haven't told us the rumour yet. Can you do that?
You know how the boss of the AFL, Gillon McLachlan, last week said, "I'm standing down at the end of the season."
I missed that.
Oh, well, yeah, it was on April. Where are we? It was last Tuesday.
Oh, I missed it.
So last Tuesday he said, "Right, that's
I'm
it."
Out.
Called a big press conference. He said at the end, and he'll make it about him. He's the bloke with the lovely hair, etc.
Why would he do that? I thought he was doing well there.
Doing really well. Well, he'll sign off the deal on the AFL. They've got a new TV deal, so that'll be worth, the last one was worth $1 billion, so it'll be worth more. So he'll look like a champion at the grand final. They'll go, "Well, don't forget your gill." All right, so he's going at the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
The AFL world is awash with rumours on who's going to replace them.
Oh.
My mail, and this is what I got told, one Eddie McGuire.
Oh, really?
Wow. New head of the AFL.
Is that obvious? Well, what's he, the CEO of Collingwood?
Not anymore.
No.
He's nothing. He's just hot seat Eddie.
Yeah.
That's all he does
and
now.
You could imagine Eddie would love that.
He'd love to run the AFL. It just added up two and two. All right. What's your rumour?
Well, my rumour is with 45% of 18-year-olds not registered to vote because enrollments closed yesterday, Marto.
Oh, my God. Is that what they reckon? 45% of the youngsters
45%
are.
Of 18-year-olds still aren't enrolled, and yet youth are our future.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what was tweeted.
But the world is theirs.
But I know somebody in the Electoral Commission, right. Marto, and for the first time voters are going to be able to vote using their phones at this year's federal election. Normally you go in, you put your little pencil and you tick the boxes and put it in. Well, the reason it hasn't been promoted, though, because it would be very convenient, wouldn't it, is that because... If you choose to vote on your phone, you'll have to listen to every nomination in the Senate, which will take about 40 minutes to get through. That's why they're not promoting it.
Piece
so that's,
of paper.
That's
still
the secret.
Beats Telstra. Mm. Still ringing Telstra about a problem.
Telephone voting will be for people with COVID.
Oh.
And will be available for the last 3 days of voting only.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, but they're not.
But what about if they're not enrolled?
Well, then they can't vote.
So for the first time ever. You can vote by telephone, but
you have to listen to every seat in the Senate. It takes about 40 minutes, so it's not really more convenient.
It's quicker to go in
just
and line
go
up,
into
get a
the
snack.
Booth. Unless you have COVID, then stay at home.
And Eddie McGuire, new head of the AFL. Some good rumours. Well done over the long weekend, you two. Bloody hell.
Anything for you.
133353, there's the phone number, or you can text us, and you can remain anonymous, but you could win $1,000. 0484101045. It's Triple M's Rumour File every morning, 7:05.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, magic round.
Here we go again. Yes, it's the Legends Lunch, and it's on the same weekend, or just on the eve of the NRL Magic Round, which is on in a couple of weeks.
Thursday the 12th of May.
And the short weeks as well.
What week is it?
Thursday the 12th of May.
All right, so we're just on that week. We've got some of Australia's greatest footy legends together in one room. We've been talking about it on the weekend, and finally we can unveil a little bit more. Margo, this is the lunch where we make you hand in any cameras, any phones, obviously,
metal detectors,
and you get them back at the end of the lunch because we tell stories and we share stories by some of league's biggest legends, and we don't want anyone to know all the stories. So finally, what happens at sportsmen's lunches these days? You start telling a story and all of a sudden everyone finds out and they leak it to journos.
And then
you're in trouble. Whereas this over the years has been the greatest idea and the greatest spilling of stories that people have wanted to know the details about. They've heard vaguely and went, "Oh, God, is that how that panned out?"
Well, last year, Marto, we heard Wally tell us some tales and MG was there and he...
You imagine how many lunches and dinners Wally's done over the years and MG. They were telling stories that no one had ever heard before. It was quite extraordinary.
There's a lot of trust in the room.
Yeah.
Because once you're
true.
There, you can't repeat the stories outside that room.
No, you know who'd have some good stories? Wendell Saylor. He's going to be there.
Wendell's locked in.
Bang.
And colourful, wonderful, colourful identity. Ryan Girdler's going to be in as well.
Goods.
So if we get announced, they'd be the first who we'd announce. Okay. So, actually, can we get people to ring 133353?
Yep.
You can win the first tickets to the Triple M Legends NRL Legends Lunch.
Yep. Yeah, you have to give up your phone. There's no cameras allowed, and you need to promise that what goes on at the Triple M's Legend Lunch stays at the Triple M's Legends Lunch.
It's on at Regatta Hotel. But listen, we've got plenty. Actually, Rush Hour this afternoon got a huge announcement on one of the guests, one of the legends that will be coming.
It's a big one.
But right now, can we go to a bloke who was on Triple M yesterday afternoon and how do I describe him? He played more than 450 games, both in the English Super League and NRL. 423 first grades, 53 tests he played for England. And you remember him, there was that grand final where he bit Billy Slater's ear. James Graham, sorry to mention it.
Oh, good morning, everyone. How are we doing?
I thought you were going to mention the grand final where he smashed Sam Burgess's face.
I like
face.
That one. I love
that. Was
that.
A good one too, James. How are you? Good morning.
Yeah, going good, thanks. How's everything going up there?
Now, yeah, good, mate. Well, we've got a beautiful day here to coming off Easter. This is why Magic Round gets held up here. But in previous years at the regatta, when we ask people to tell stories that no one's ever heard, they're very open. Are you okay to tell? Well, would you tell the story, not now, but at the lunch, or you might tell it now, the day you pranked Wayne Bennett while in the English squad?
Yeah, I'll give you a very quick rundown of that. But Wayne Bennett wasn't the intentional target. He was just the unfortunate recipient. But, yeah, long story short, we put a bit of Tabasco sauce and some glasses on the rim. Just kind of forgot about it. In walks Wayne, and Wayne makes his way over to the table, pours himself a glass of orange juice, drinks it, starts coughing, saying the orange juice is spicy. But he just thinks it's that one particular glass. So he went again, poured himself another one, and he continues coughing away. So, the unfortunate recipient was Wayne Bennett, but definitely not the intended target. I've got to say that in case he's listening.
He's a pretty good sport, though, James. For people who don't know him, they see the perceived media personality of Wayne Bennett, but he's actually a really good sport, and he would have had a good laugh about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We didn't tell him until the end of the tour because we didn't want it to affect the collection. But, he had a good laugh at the end, yeah, that's for sure. And that's it. Wayne is a really colourful character and he brings the best out of his teams, but certainly his front in the media is very plain and to the point, but very different behind closed doors.
Well, James, that's what we're looking for on the day at the regatta. Is there anything those years you spent at the Bulldogs, was there any other great characters? Who was the best character at the Bulldogs? That's when they were winning.
Josh, there was never a dull moment with Josh Reynolds around. And, Dez has his intricate side as well, which is always kind of funny. And there's a few tales involving him I'm sure I can share when we're at the lunch.
Doesn't he love his hair, Desi Hasler?
Oh, it's great.
It's great
it?
Hair.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's three locked
in. Don't give too much away today, James, because we've got a big day out there regatta before Magic Round. So we look forward to you joining us, mate. Right.
I'm led to believe, too, James, Magic Round, obviously, a great round of footy up here at Suncorp. You would have played at some incredible stadiums, not just here in Australia, but overseas in England as well. We're going to be giving away tickets to all of the people that get to come along to lunch.
Absolutely. They've got tickets to Magic Round.
They've got tickets to Magic Round as well.
Yeah.
What's so great about Magic Round, James? Why is it magic?
Yeah, look, for me, it's just a great opportunity for the pure football fans, as well as being a family-friendly event. But, you know, sometimes when you're a fan, you just watch your own team. But it's a great opportunity for you to go and just watch an individual player. So just keep your eyes on a Munster or a Pappenhausen or any of the great players like Cleary or Tedesco. You can just watch them one-on-one. And, yeah, I think that's just a great opportunity to see some of the stars of our game without, you know, barracking for your team. It's a pretty cool thing to see and just watch all the off-the-ball movements and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
James, if I'm sitting there at the Triple M Legends lunch at the Regatta Hotel and I put my hand up and go, why did you bite Billy Slater on the ear? Will you be answering it?
You'll have to wait and see.
Okay. You're too good, mate. Look forward to seeing you on the day.
Hey, before you go there, James, Rebecca, you're coming along.
Thank you. Yes, very excited.
Who's your team, Rebecca?
Oh, Broncos.
Yes, we'll be right by then. It's a few weeks' time, maybe.
Yeah. No, looking forward to it. It'll be a fabulous time, I think.
Rebecca, do you want to know why James bit Billy Slater on the ear? Will you be interested to find out that at the lunch?
Of course, that would be fabulous to hear.
All right. Well, James, great to talk to you this morning. We'll see you there at Triple M's Legend Lunch at Brisbane's iconic pub, the Regatta Hotel. Rebecca's got the first tickets, and there are tickets all day today.
And another chance this afternoon in rush hour where they're introducing one of the guest
another
speakers.
Special guest.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a bit of just a bit of housekeeping. So keep listening today. We've got more tickets to go this morning, this afternoon, and again with Triple M's Rush Hour hour from 4 o'clock.
It's a ripper day.
And you also not only get tickets to go to this massive event, this big Legends Lunch, but tickets to Magic Round as well. Experience a weekend of real at NRL Magic Round. It's May 13 to 15. There's plenty of fun to be had before and after kickoff. NRL.com/magic.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
Police were lost for words, Marto, after they clocked a vehicle speeding 251 kilometres an hour. 251 kilometres an hour? Yes, we're not on the Autobahn here over in Germany. We're in Victoria.
On a road.
On a freeway.
The Calder freeway
at Wood End, northeast of Melbourne at 12:30 a.m.
Hold on, wait. What day? Because we were talking yesterday. About Easter traffic. Some people were going 15 kilometres an hour. This woman's going the other way.
Is it a woman, did you say?
Monday morning, a 42-year-old woman was pulled over.
Hold on. Was she on the Terps as well? Like
she was.
12:30. So that's after midnight on Easter Sunday. She's doing 251 k's an hour.
That's quick.
Did you say the police were lost for words? Did they say the normal one? Is there a reason you're traveling? Was she going to get something to eat?
Her vehicle has been impounded and it's expected she'll be charged on summons with numerous offences. The white Volkswagen. Hang on a second.
A Volkswagen?
A VW. 251 kilometres. I didn't know Volkswagens could go to 250 kilometres.
Why aren't they in the supercars?
Why? Forget the Mustang. Bring out the Polo, the VW Polo.
Well, maybe it's just her. She should be driving.
No, what's the one they do? The Jetta.
Oh, the Jetta goes fast.
Does that go quick?
I think so. My brother used to have one. He used to go like a shower.
It's not the Beetle, put it that way.
Yeah, it's not the VW Beetle.
There's a combi doing 250k. Marto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast. Hey, my family and many others had a lovely weekend over at Moreton Island. God, it was busy. There were people. You don't see the people. They disappear into the bush and their little campsites and stuff. But there were so many people coming off the barge to get over to Moreton Island. And we're up at Bulwer. If anyone knows it, there's about 45 houses there. So not many people. There's only about 20 full-time residents. But at weekends like Easter, there's probably like 200 or 300 people staying there.
You get off the barge and you turn left.
That's all you need to know.
And you go up the beach.
Until you're 12 k's up the beach. So we're there, but every Saturday, the biggest event in the year, Bulwer, I've had a house there for the last two, before I came on radio. I've been there forever. But and one day I'll probably live there, who knows?
You've been doing work over there too, Marto, haven't you?
I've been doing a little reno. There's always something to tidy up. Anyway, Saturday was the biggest day on the Bulwer, that's our little village, on our calendar. It was our beach volleyball tournament.
Okay.
12 teams.
Oh.
And there was about, can you imagine that little bit in front of our place
near
where the old barge, if anyone knows where the old combi trader used to land when it come across from Redcliffe, in there's a big, they levelled it all off with tractors and stuff.
Beautiful.
Groomed it all. There were marquees all the way around. There was about maybe 350 people there for the day.
Wow.
And we had a little team called the Sand Crabs. We were rounders up last year. We didn't go so well this year, but that doesn't matter because...
Who was in your team? Can I ask?
I had 11 20-year-olds staying at the house, all Harry and Hillary, my two kids mates were all there because surf was up. So they've had a fabulous weekend over there. They played in the volleyball team. But the thing I want to mention is at one stage, Gary Youngbury, Channel 9 weather reporter.
Number one channel.
He wanders past in the sand. I go, what are you doing? He said, I'm playing with that team over there. I said, what do you have a holiday? Because I hadn't been watching the weather because I was on holidays myself. He said, yeah, I had the week off. Been staying with some friends. Gary, are you there?
I am, Marto, I am.
Now, listen, I only got to chat to you quickly and then Gary's team made the final.
Oh.
And on the back of their team, there was an angel wings and they're playing in memory of Jake, it said. And so Kath, my wife, said, can you go over and ask Gary what was the story with Jake? They're playing in memory. And there was three teams playing in memory of Jake.
Oh, beautiful.
Gary, I came over and asked, and I know the story, but Gary's team won the final and went crazy.
You won, Gary.
And was so emotional. And then the mother of Jake, or Jacob, she got up with the microphone afterwards. Gary, can I let you take over? Who's Jake?
Yeah, it's Jacko. Jackson Heppner, his name, just a quick rundown. Poor old Jacko is one of the finest young men, gentlemen, you'll meet at 19 years of age. Unfortunately, got cancer and he fought very, very strong. And we thought he was all fine and through it. He played volleyball out there last year. He helped pack up everything. He's just a fine, fine gentleman. But unfortunately, he succumbed to that only last year. He stayed with us out at Moreton as well. And Yeah, look, Marto, it's a little bit sad, getting a little bit teary this morning also talking about Jacko, but, mate, let me tell you, he was a gentleman, and it was so fitting because his mum and dad played in our team. And we just couldn't believe it, mate. We made it all. None of us could play volleyball. We beat everyone, and we won the final. And it was meant to be.
That's what we said because he had. We went. How come there's 30 kids? They're all in their 20s and stuff. They're obviously to pay homage to Jacko. I've never seen anything like it. And you guys weren't very good. Our team was better than you, but we ended up getting knocked out early.
I thought you had ring-ins, mate. They could all play. I thought they were throwing off until you got the final, and you were just going to flog us.
For some reason, we didn't win.
That's volleyball. Players.
But you guys weren't very good, and somehow, honestly, I watched the Lord or whatever's looking over people. It meant that you guys was. And was there mum and dad in that team?
They were. It was absolutely
incredible.
We had 3 points, and it was Jacko's dad, Mitch. He never played volleyball. He was serving. He was putting them up in the air like he was an absolute pro, and no one could get him back, mate. He just won the game for us. Yeah. It was so fitting. It was quite upsetting.
You believe in this stuff, don't you?
Yeah, everything happens for a reason. I'm a big believer. Gary, what was your relationship with Jacko? How did you get involved with the family?
Well, my best mate, Brad McLaughlin, he owns a shack like Marto out there and we go and stay out there. And Jacko, it's his son's best mate. They were just so tight. So, you know, we'd always go out there every year as well. And that's how I got to meet Jacko. And he was always around, always helping out. And like Marto said, all the young fellas there, all the 20-year-olds, you know, just such well-behaved young lads. And what a day, though, Marto.
It was a great vibe, mate. Did you hear there was heaps of this going on?
Nice, Gary.
Did you? Yeah. When they realised
there was a little bit from the sideline, but I didn't help out that much, mate.
There was a lot of that. Looks like the weather guy from Channel 9 because people don't get to see you in a pair of boardies and a singlet too often, mate. It was so unreal.
Gary, are you a dig set spike kind of guy? Which one are you?
Well, we were just trying to hit the bloody ball back. I didn't know that Marto was there. I just saw him walk out from the bush like he came out with his cattle dog out of the jungle like he was on Survivor. He was just rough, tough, and it was...
Good to see you over there, mate. Oh, what's the weather doing this week? Margot said it's the hottest day ever. She said that Gary said last
record.
Night, the hottest day on record tomorrow.
I don't always listen to the whole thing, Gary. The boys said it's the hottest day this week. And I said, Gary said it's the hottest day ever.
No, this week. We'll go for this week. We won't get too carried away there, Margot. We'll settle for the hottest day this week.
Tomorrow. What is it, 30?
Yeah, 31 tomorrow.
So
if anyone's wondering why Gary looks so relaxed, he's been at Morton for the week. Cheers, mate.
Nice, Gary.
See you, guys.
Good on you.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
133-53 is the number you call when you want to talk to us. But if you want to text us when you can't get through, 0484101045 is the number, Marto. A few people text us while we were away last week. They wanted to let us know a few things. One this morning came through as well about a bit of traffic.
Really? Let's have it.
Well, there's a broken down car on the Southern Crossway on ramp at Nunda heading southbound towards Eagle Farm.
Now, he's written Eagles. Oh, thank you, Dave. That's wonderful. He's written Eagles Farm, and that's what Eagle Farm should be called.
Is there an eagle? Is there eagles there? There would have been at some stage.
And then over the years, they would have got sucked into the engines of planes, and there was less and less eagles. Thanks, Dave. Tony, listen to this one. This is appropriate from the last week. Or so, got roped into a family camping trip over Easter. Oh, it's a big thing. You pack up on Thursday, you get stuck in the traffic, you come back yesterday stuck in the traffic, got to unpack the car. It's a big thing for the father, all the kids and wife just... Anyway, that's not what Tony's talking about. Still trying to figure out who's the biggest punish. The bloke with all the gear, but no idea. The bloke who thinks he's the Bear Grylls of camping, they can be the same bloke sometimes. Or the bloke who brings an out-of-tune guitar and insists on singing every night.
That one.
The final one.
Yep.
It can be the same bloke. And he's normally drunk.
Normally the drunk guy that plays his music too loud at 1 o'clock in the morning. You have to unzip your swag and say, can you turn it down, please?
And don't you love it when, because he's been around the fire, his vision's, you know, hot on that. He turns around, there's not enough light, and he trips on something, falls over and falls on his guitar. I don't know. Is that about
We had a few camping disasters, Marto. We had three nights at South Currigy over on Stratty in a swag, a wet one, mind you. Wasn't very comfortable.
It rained that weekend you
and
went
I
over.
Had to share it with two little kids. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Mary said, how many Most Improved Awards do you allow your child to receive before pulling them out of their chosen sport? Mm. Our nine-year-old just got their fourth straight Most Improved Award on the weekend and is still coming in last every race.
Yeah, but it must mean, Mary, come on, pull your socks up. It must mean that their kid's coming last by a lesser amount.
Amount. The time is improving, perhaps. Okay. And if they're enjoying it, let them keep playing. It's not about winning and losing.
That's right. This is where people like Darius Boyd, he probably, this is where he came from. And look what he did. Taught Broncos how not to catch bombs. All right, Luke from Lowood. Hi, Luke. Hey, here's one from this morning. He sent it just through now. Feeling your pain, Marto. I spent Easter in isolation with the family because we all got COVID. The worst thing is when you get COVID, but then your wife gets it 2 days later, you're in isolation for an extra 2 days. Back to work today, unfortunately. Sorry, Luke, I can't do much for you.
I'm not sure many people could say that they isolated over on Moreton Island, though, in heaven of paradise.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's going quiet.
Is fishing and isolating?
Yes, it is. Yes. Absolutely.
It's good for the soul. Vitamin D, feet in the sand.
Thank you.
It's good for your health.
Marto's burner phone, 0484101045.
It's good to be back, isn't it?
It's good to be back.
Bob Hawke donated his royalties from All Hawke's beer sales to environmental charity Landcare Australia. So grab a slab of Hawke's Lager from your local Dan Murphy's or Liquor Legends today. Drink responsibly.